Last week in Huntersville, at the intersection in front of Burkdale, the light turned green, and whoever's in the front, for whatever reason, did not move. So the woman who was right behind him leaned on her horn and yelled out inappropriate things out the window, and all of a sudden, in her rearview mirror, she saw the blue light of the Huntersville Police Department. The policeman walked up the car, said, "Get out, lady." Handcuffed her, took her to the jail, booked her, put her in a cell. About an hour later, he came back and he said, "Okay, ma'am, you can go now. There are no charges." She was very irate. She said, "Well, what in the world did you arrest me for and put me in this place?" The policeman said, "Well, ma'am, I saw what you were doing up there. And I looked at your bumper sticker and said, 'I love Jesus.' And I thought you'd stolen the car." See, the state of our world, our nation, often the way we treat each other, testify that so many of us who call ourselves Christian do not look like the love of Jesus. That we claim to be filled with the love of Jesus for the world turns out to be just a slogan on a bumper sticker. And inevitable consequences flow, which we see in this nation and in this community. We see division and distrust and deterioration and destruction of our community and our relationships with each other. But God declares it doesn't have to be that way. There's a different way. That's His way. That's why this summer He is offering us this series of getting conversations started with us and among us, like this Bible, that His words will then flow into our hearts, and then as His word comes into our hearts, it flows out into the way we live. And God is using His prophets to be His conversation starters. Today, His prophets are Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. The events begin while the Judeans have been conquered by the Babylonians, and they're living in exile in Babylon. That's about 590 BCE. The king Nebuchadnezzar goes out and he appoints some of the smarter, better Judeans who are living in Babylon and gives them posts in the government. Well, it turns out that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were so good at this, he puts them in a very high position, and they are powerful and prosperous. At least with the king, they're popular, but they are not popular, as you can well imagine, with the Babylonian government officials. And so they concoct a plan to get rid of these three guys. And they convince Nebuchadnezzar to build this 90-foot golden statue that looks remarkably like Nebuchadnezzar, in fact. And they issue this order that said everyone must bow down and worship this god of gold or they'll be burned alive. And what they hope is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will refuse, and they will, in fact, be burned alive. So God uses what they say and what they do to start a conversation with us this morning about how it is we're able to live our convictions. Here's what happens to these men. Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said to them, "Is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship this image of gold that I have set up? If you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace." They replied to him, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown in the blazing furnace, the God we serve will be able to deliver us from it, and He will deliver us from your hand. But even if He does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." So Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated seven times hotter than usual and commanded some of his strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they were bound and thrown into the furnace. Suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet and amazement, he asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, but look, I see four men walking around the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of a god." Nebuchadnezzar approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the supreme God, come out, come here." And they came out of the fire, and his royal advisors crowded around them and saw the fire had not harmed their bodies. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of the fire on them. And then Nebuchadnezzar declared, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and has rescued them. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I decree that anyone who says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be punished, and for no other god can save in this way." And he put them in charge of all of Babylon. Years later, Persia has conquered Babylon, and the same scene plays out with a man named Daniel. He's in a high position. People don't like him. They concoct this plan where the king who was then, the king of Persia, declared that everyone needed to worship him as God or they would be thrown in the lion's den. Well, sure enough, Daniel refuses to worship the king, King Darius at that time, and they throw him in the lion's den. And at the end of the day, the lions are lying at his feet asleep. And here's what happens thereafter. Daniel was lifted from the den. No wound was found on him because he had trusted God. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, "May you prosper greatly. All my kingdom and people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His power will never end. He rescues and he saves, and he performs wonders and miracles in the heavens and on the earth." And so Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and later Cyrus. I told Sally what the message was about. I just give her a little highlight, get her all excited about this. She said, "Well, Fred, haven't you preached about Daniel before?" Which I found very encouraging, by the way. She didn't remember a whole lot about what I said, but she remembered that part. And I said, "Well, you're right, honey, but I looked into the end of that message. This is what I said. A year from now," and it's almost been a year from now, "I want to look at the world, because the message is about you guys, all of us getting out there and changing the world. And I want us to look out there in the world and say, has it gotten better? Have we come closer together as a people? Or have we gotten worse? Are we still the same?" Well, some of you have answered that call. And in some little way, some ways, the world has gotten better, more like what God wants. But I'm telling you, friends, our God is in mourning for our nation, this community, and so many of us. So I would say the message from Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is not over yet. You see, these three men faced life-challenging choices: personal safety, comfort, a clear path to a prosperous life. Or they could choose danger and discomfort and a risk to their lives and to their futures. Self-centered status quo or selfless sacrifice. Several hundred years later, the writer of the letter of the Hebrews said this about them: they had the courage of their convictions. And the word he used, the convictions, actually was a Hebrew word. And the word means deeply held beliefs, foundational truths, plus two words: fully lived. Belief, life. Yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had more than their courage of convictions. They had what Matty O'Mitchell is going to show to us, hopefully, on our video in just a second. Matty O is from Cullowhee, North Carolina, and he was running the first leg of the qualifying heat at the London Olympics and the 4x400, and hopefully, here's what happened.
Prince Renan Theo Mitchell felt like his leg snapped in half as he ran the first leg of the 4x400 meter relay preliminaries earlier this week. Instead of quitting, he kept running and finished his leg of the race in an impressive time. The 25-year-old from Cullowhee finished his heat in 46.1 seconds, just 1.5 seconds slower than Joshua Mintz, who he passed the baton to. Faith, focus, finish. Faith, focus, finish. That's the only thing I could say to myself Mitchell told the Associated Press, when asked how he was able to continue running with a broken leg, while the average person would surely stop running, that was not even an option to Mitchell.
What happened is the 200-meter mark, Adiel Mitchell's leg snapped. It broke. Total fracture. And somehow, he kept running. Question is how? What he said was, I did not focus on the pain. Instead, what I knew, I was not running for myself. I was running for my teammates. I was running for my country. It wasn't about me. And so he said in his mind with every step, faith, focus, and finish. Fast enough to finish so that the Americans could actually make the finals in the 4x400. You see, what Mattio Mitchell reveals to us is how it is we can actually have the courage of our conviction. That is, we have convictions that we live out for what we care for who we care for. When we care for something that is bigger than ourselves, believing that if we keep going, that we can make something bigger come true. Now, truth moves us to God's conversation starter number one. What convictions do we care for enough to live by and give our lives for? You see, unlike Mattio Mitchell, we're in a much bigger competition than an Olympic gold medal. We're in a war, my friends. We're in a war. It's a war much greater than a war with ISIS or the drug pushers and the gangs on our streets. It's a much greater war than racial violence or distrust or deeply divided political parties or that person who keeps putting you down and telling you you're worthless and hurting you. These are just symptoms, skirmishes in a greater war. The war we're in, my friends, and make no mistake about this, is a war for our souls. What will we live for? What are our beliefs on which we stand and we will not give up until we finish with the victory that we're called to run for? Well, there are no shortage of contenders to have us choose their convictions. But I want to tell you about a big danger that I hear. I've even heard it in this place. I hear it a lot on the streets. We say, I admire this person. You know why? Because they have very firm convictions. You may not agree with what they say, but you always know where they stand, and they stick to their convictions. That's the kind of man I admire. Really? How about this guy? He stuck to his convictions. He knew where he stood, and he never quit until he committed suicide. How about that guy? You admire him? You want his convictions to be your conviction? Well, why not? He doesn't waver. He stuck with those convictions. How about this guy? How about him? You like his convictions? He stands on those. He never gives up on those. You may not like where he stands, but he doesn't give up on his convictions. How about this guy? Those of you who don't know, that's the governor of Alabama, George Wallace. And right there, he's raising that fist. You notice the other two had the same gesture. You notice that? Fist. Segregation today. Segregation tomorrow. Segregation forever. And he unleashed the dogs on the people marching for freedom. You like his convictions? You like that? He stood up for them. He never wavered. You knew where he stood. You may not like it, but you knew. You want that? I hope I will never hear you say, well, you may not like what he says, which is probably a key to saying, probably not. But you know where he stands. Why don't you stand with him? That guy. Well, there's another option. Here's one. Notice the hand. A little different, isn't it? He stood for his convictions. Even when the people of his race said, Martin, it's not working out your peaceful way, your love way. Let's take the streets and kill the white people. That'll get things going. No, he stood for peace and love. And he stuck with it to the day he was killed. How about these people? Y'all don't see who those people are. Those are our one youth. They're holding hands. And they're sticking with their convictions that the world can be changed when we come together. And they're not changing. In fact, they're going deeper. How about this guy? You stuck with his convictions? You want to stand with him? He never gave up. His hands to heaven to bring the love and grace of God down to your life. What's the difference in A and B? Group A and Group B. Well, I intentionally made the title of this message ambiguous. Caring for convictions. So you could fill in the blank. Here's the blank I hope you'll fill in. Caring for God's convictions. The beliefs that God wants us to stand for. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew what that was. And the Deuteronomic law was love God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength. Obey God's love and God's promises. He will bless you. But if you disobey God, He will curse you. They didn't know what form God's blessings would take if they stood by and cared for their convictions of God's way. They didn't know what Nebuchadnezzar would do to them, but they cared so much for God's convictions and the beliefs they had on their hearts that they fully lived them and did not back away. You and I know more than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, don't we? Jesus was sent into the world to make clear what God's convictions were, the beliefs on which we stand and fully live, and here's what they are. Love God with all your heart, all your soul. Jesus has all your mind and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourselves, with just another way of saying the golden rule. Do for others as you want done for you. And love one another the way Jesus loves us. And here's Jesus' promise. If you will care for those convictions enough to fully live them in your life, then your life will be filled, he says, with complete joy, with peace the world cannot take away. And your life will bear fruit, much fruit, the fruit that will last. We say, God, we want to stand with you. We like this. We're going with this. It's all in purple. That's why we're choosing it. It came from God. Yet so often it seems that we care less about God's love convictions and the convictions urged on us by the crowd, culture, the media, and our political parties. When is it that we decided to take out the word God before convictions and put Democrat? To put Republican in that blank instead of God? When did we decide that our political parties would determine what we believe? Love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another the way Jesus loves us. What about that as a platform for those two parties? Do you think anybody would be elected on that platform? What do you think? Not a chance. That tells us we have rejected God's convictions. Let somebody else fill the blank. That's why God leads us to answer his conversation starter number 2. What is at stake with caring for God's convictions that can cause us to actually care enough to live by them and to give our lives for them? Well, here's the answer. I'm going to ask Alexis Bolden to come up here and be my accomplice. Okay?
I'll take it. Alexis, come on. So y'all know Alexis, right? Y'all like Alexis?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear maybe on that.
Amen.
Amen. So do y'all love Alexis? I mean, is she a great young person?
Yes.
Do you want the best for her?
Yes.
Do you want her life to be filled with love?
Yes.
Do you want her to be a love giver? Well, you know, qualified. I'm talking about God's love. All right. So Alexis and I are going to demonstrate a very important point here today. We're going to be doing a relay. And she's going to be the relay E, and I'm going to be the relay or. We're going to see if we can pull this off. Now, the way a relay works is you notice the relay person looks back, but then they don't look back anymore. They put their hand back, it'll be. So the person with the ton pops it in their hand. That's the way it works. You don't look back, you count on me. Alexis, counting on me, right? To pass the baton to you, right? Okay, keep going. Oh no! Oh no, what happened? I didn't make it pass. Alexis, I'm so sorry. You know what happened? No, it's not okay. belongs to this precious child of God. What we should do. I want you to read that and read it aloud for right here, okay?
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, and love one another as I love you.
That's what I wanted to give away. I wanted to give her the conviction that God gives us to love one another. Guess what? I dropped the ball. She didn't get it.
So what's the point? The point is, God's convictions are not about us. I love these people who say, God says it, I'll do it. That has never, ever worked. If that worked, every pastor, every lawyer, every policeman, every soldier would be out of business. God says it, we don't do it. The only way we do it is if we actually care for our young people, for Sajan and Haley and Alexis and Zaina, for Piper. Or is that Knox? Knox. He wants that for them. And the question is, do you? Here's your choice. The question is this: do we want our young people and our children to live in a world surrounded by, here's your choice, judgment, anger, selfishness, indifference, or a world of kindness and compassion and selfless sacrifice and love? Do we want our children and young people to live in a world that God warns about, divided, distrustful, deteriorating, destroying, a world of healing and peace and joy, his kingdom on heaven coming on earth? Right now, it looks like to me, the enemy's winning. The enemy's winning. Because we are not passing on the convictions of God to love. That's why God wants to start a conversation with us this morning. How many of you are willing to sit down at your table after worship today and say, does this family stand for loving God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, for loving our neighbors as ourselves? We see our neighbor, a person in this community who does not have the schooling that we get, the opportunities we have, and we're not going to stand for that anymore. Are we willing to sit down? Did you hear that political leader in that hateful speech? We're going to stand up and write a letter to the editor and send out a Facebook blast saying, no one should speak that way to another human being. Because it's not love. Are you willing to have that conversation? I hope you do, because what God wants to do is take that conversation and move it into our lives. Well, God's going to know which way we choose by how we answer conversation starter number 3. Will we care enough to live by God's conviction of love, to challenge and change the people he puts in our lives, to challenge and change our culture? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, do you notice this? They did not speak quietly or privately to the king. They didn't say, well, maybe this time I'll just bow down. I'll be okay in my heart. I'm not going to say anything. No, they spoke up strongly and publicly. And because they did, an entire nation was changed. As King Darius said, all my kingdom and people must revere the living God. And his successors sent the people, the Judeans, back to Jerusalem to build a temple and gave them the money to do it, to worship this living God. Our culture, our community, my friends, is in desperate need of people who say we believe in the convictions of God, of love, to speak out and speak up and stand up and step out. Otherwise, the enemy's convictions will win. They're winning now, that enemy. How do you know? Racial and economic segregation of our schools, of our society, resulting in this explosion of violence and distrust. Nobody should be shocked by that at all. Economically disadvantaged children, starting out so far behind, they never catch up. Prisons overflowing, like people like my friend Angelo, when they got out, there is nowhere for them to go. and set back, which is where they used to go. Inadequate and unaffordable medical care for the working poor. Sally and I, we've learned about medical bills. And if we didn't have insurance, I don't know where we'd be. But there are millions and millions of people who have no insurance or inadequate insurance, and they get the bill from Carolina Medical Center, and they're actually expected to pay it. All of it. Political rhetoric so full of falsehoods, half-truths, disrespect. Who is challenging and seeking to change these conditions? Do you tolerate your children going to school that did not give them the education they need? Do you tolerate for your family not having a way to pay for your medical bills when your spouse gets cancer? Would you tolerate some person that you love who made a mistake is in prison and they come out, they're doomed for the rest of their lives? Would you tolerate someone speaking about your child the way these political figures speak about each other? Would you tolerate that? No, you would not. And what God says to us today, well, if you actually believe and stake your life on my conditions of love, and you're going to start stepping up and speaking out, and yeah, people are not going to like it. You may not like what you're hearing today. Who cares? As Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we don't have to defend ourselves against you. Our only person we speak to is God. But here's what I want us to stand. If we do nothing, if we sit on the sidelines and we stay silent and just pray about it in here, I don't even pray about it at all. You know what we're doing? We're bowing down on our knees before that 90-foot golden God. We've compromised God's convictions. The question is, do you care for God's convictions enough to want to actually step up and step out to change our culture, our community, with love? Do you want to defeat the enemy that is taking over our nation and our schools and our community and our families? Do you want to do that? Well, if you do, you don't have very far to go. Because this church, this family is actually doing it. We call it our East Huntersville ministry. And we're stepping up and stepping out to come together. To understand each other. So we will not tolerate the way the society treats people who cannot always fend for themselves, and to treat each other with love. And the leaders in this battle are our young people. Get that? Not us. We're just sitting on our duffs. But our young people have come together, what we call one youth, coming together to get to know each other, to break down the barriers of race and economics, and neighborhoods. They have come to care and love each other. Now, they want to lead us out to give God's love not to just each other, but all of Huntersville. That's what they want to do. They want to start a movement. As one of our East Huntersville youth said to the group the other night, this is not about Black Lives Matter. This is not about white police lives matter. This is about all lives matter. And the only way lives are going to matter to each other is if we come together and get to know each other. It happened for us. Maybe it can happen for everybody else. Well, they're not turning back. They care for their convictions. And they're going to stand on God's conviction to love. And how do I know that? They have already made an investment in a bracelet. They like bracelets. We are one. There is a small problem with this. I think it violates the copyright. But who's counting, really? So Christine has ordered 100 of these. And they're wearing them, giving it out, getting the movement started. But they want the whole community of Huntersville to come together and get to know each other and become one. I said, Christine, what would it cost to order 100,000 of these? Said, don't worry about it. We'll get it done. Well, if you want to challenge and change the culture, I invite you, if you're not already fully engaged, to get with the movement. To join the family. The train's already left the station. But you can get on board. If you want to defeat the enemy, if you want to care for God's convictions of love, you just get on board, because we're actually doing it. Now, how do I know that? Because on Friday, I met with Chief Sproul, Cleveland to me. I don't refuse to call somebody by their title, except the doctors who just insist on it. So I said, Cleveland, he called me to see if he could come by and chat with me. So we're chatting, we talked for an hour. It's a great conversation. He's a great guy. So Cleveland at the end of this says, you know, I see more and hear more than I actually know more about those East Huntersville youth. I see them all the time. I see him with Mike Slaughter. I've gotten to know him. And I've heard that actually your youth group, your white kids and black kids, they're coming together as one. That's amazing, he said. And now, I said, well, wait a minute. That's not it. So I gave him two bracelets. And I said, here's what we're doing. Here's what our youth are leading us to do. Become, pull this community together to be one, to get to know each other. So that the love they have come to know for each other will actually happen for all of them. And here's what he said. He said, I know there are a lot of churches in Huntersville who are putting band-aids on problems. You're the only one that I know of who's trying to change people's hearts. And that's the only way, he said, that we can solve the problems facing this community. As we get ready for communion, here's what God wants us to see. It's what a visitor learned in coal country many years ago. He was driving down the highway and he saw this pasture full of mules, hundreds of them. So he stopped, he asked the farmer, he said, what is it with the mules? Why are all these mules out here? And the answer was, well, these mules work all week in the mines where it's dim and dark. And what we've learned, if we don't get them out at least once a week, they lose their eyesight and they go blind. You and I live in a culture that lives in darkness. Whatever the way there is in our culture, in our community, in our society that is not love, that's darkness. And the problem is we get so used to the darkness, we don't realize we've gone blind to see the light that Jesus wants to shine into our hearts. We've gone blind to the fact that we actually don't love each other anymore. Never did. We've gone blind to the fact that we must not tolerate the enemy winning this war. So God uses today to open our eyes to the light. And he calls on each of us to invite our friends who live in the dim and darkness of our culture and world to come and receive the light as well. For in the midst of our darkness, Jesus came. And he came because he knew that we were blind. We have become blind to the love and the life that God wants for us. And so he died because he loves us. He lived out the love he calls us to live. He sacrificed his life and lived in hell for us so that he could walk through hell with us to bring us out of the dim and darkness of our lives, to use us to do the same in the light of life and love that God wants for us. So my friends, if you come to this table today, I hope that you will bring here anything in your life that is not love. I want you to bring to this table anything in your life that is keeping you from standing up and speaking out and stepping up to live out God's conviction of love for your life, through your life. That's why Jesus said, I hope you'll never forget. That's why I said to you. That's why he said to the disciples then and now that I want you to always remember. I give you something to remember me by. And on that night before he was crucified for us, he took bread, and after he left it, he broke it. Gave his disciples saying, this is my body, broken for you.
in the same way he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed by my blood, shed for you, forgiveness of sins, your sins and mine, for all the ways we do not love, for all the ways that we do not stand up and speak out for love, for the enemy is trying to win the war. Come, my friend."